Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network. Welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings here at Allegheny Center Alliance Church with your host, John Stanko. This program will focus on people, events, and current ministries at ACAC, a vibrant urban congregation in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in internet radio land. This is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat. Had to do a double take there, think twice, because this morning I did a show for Urban Heroes. And with Dr. Herbert Jones, who was the founder and leader of the Pittsburgh Gospel Chorus, now called the Heritage Gospel Chorale of Pittsburgh. Anyway, this is Ministry Beat. This is Allegheny Center Alliance Church. And we're going to be talking today to Michael Gregory, who is the head of our aftercare program at ACAC. So just want to welcome all of you. I'm just looking down the... I was looking at the screen. First of all, Michael hasn't called in yet, so he will any minute. I did talk to him earlier. And I'm looking also at the bulletin from this past weekend. Pastor Rock had a great sermon, the last one we will hear from him until September. I am up preaching this weekend, and I know Pastor Marv has a couple of weekends, and some other speakers will be coming in to give Pastor Rock some time to seek the Lord and kind of recharge his batteries over the month of August. So if you didn't hear this past week's message, you know, I hesitate to say it was one of Pastor Rock's best, because that's very subjective. That could have just been an indication that it was an indication of my need for the message. But I thought he did a great job with Joshua 17, verses 14 through 18, cut and conquer. And so a lot of great points. Secondhand faith won't grow you. Talked about pride of association. And God had given them the high ground, but they couldn't see that. They couldn't appreciate what they had in the way of an inheritance. So great, great message. And he went out for his month off with a bang. And so just looking through the bulletin here, Alethea's Big Bash Barbecue, August 29th. Says in the bulletin, we are looking for volunteers to help make, provide food, set up, serve food, and engage with students. This is an important event as it is our opportunity to meet and share with our new freshmen who we are and what we are about. If you would like to volunteer, please contact Pastor Marv Nelson, and you can call the church and let him know if you can help. And Alethea is a great outreach and a great opportunity for us to impact and reach the next generation. And so it's something I was very involved with when I was on staff, and I encourage you to support it any way you can. Baptism classes, those interested in being baptized at Turnbull Lake on August 23rd, and that is a Sunday, must attend classes held on August 9th at 11:15 a.m. That's not this Sunday, the following Sunday, and it gives the locations for children, for students, and for adults for their baptism classes. So the baptism is on Sunday, August the 23rd. The class that you must take if you want to be baptized is on August the 9th. Then we've heard our leaders begin to talk to us about the Deeper Life Conference, August 31st to September the 3rd, presented by Dr. Rob Reimer, Dr. Martin Sanders. This is going to be all-day sessions at ACAC, Monday, August 31st through Thursday, September 3rd. Each session will be unique and include worship and dynamic presentations by our speakers. We encourage you to join us as we grow together and learn to confront obstacles that keep us from experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit and deeper intimacy with God. Sessions will meet each day with coffee, lunch, and dinner breaks, 9 to 12, 1:30 to 5, and 7 to 9. Come and experience the presence, healing, deliverance, and transforming power of the Holy Spirit. There is no cost. So you can come to one session. You can come to all the sessions. a few of the sessions, but that is in a month from now. You've got plenty of notice. Maybe you want to take some vacation time, August 31st to September 3rd, right before Labor Day weekend holiday. So I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that, seeing some Ministry Minute videos. And so that is coming up August 31st to September 3rd. Well, I mentioned today we are going to have Michael Gregory, the head of our aftercare ministry, prison ministry at ACAC. So I see he is on the line. So without further ado, hi, Michael. Welcome to Ministry Beat.
Hi. How you doing, Pastor Stanko?
I'm very well, Michael. How are you doing on this lovely, hot, sunny day?
Great.
Very good. Michael, because you're fairly new to the church, and this isn't a ministry that touches a lot of people in ACAC, just tell our listeners a little bit about Michael Gregory. Tell us where you were born, some of the highlights of your life, and how you got to ACAC.
Okay. I was born in Steubenville, Ohio, and got married at a young age. When I was about 1980, matter of fact. Got born again at a Pentecostal church. Me and my wife had four sons during that time. Then the pastor moved to Texas, left Steubenville in 1986 and went to Texas, Fort Worth, Texas. I had a church down there and stayed down there for 12 years, serving the Lord. Got called to the ministry. Then, all of a sudden, something happened. I took my eyes off Jesus Christ. And everything allowed the enemy to come in, as that saying goes, kill, steal, and destroy. Wife divorced me. Got out there in the streets and got introduced to drugs. And the drugs got a hold of me, but I didn't think anything that can control me like drugs, like crack cocaine did. Anyway, I stayed in and out of jail, in prison, and was fighting with it. But God kept his hands on me all the time, showed me favor in prison, set me down. When I was in prison, he was always getting a hold of me there. That's when I can listen and acknowledge him and also spread his word, because I knew the word of God, and I studied a lot. So back and forth. I moved back to Ohio. Left my four sons and my wife down there. We was divorced. Moved back to Ohio and just continued the street journey, in and out of the street, in and out of prison, I'm sorry. That went on from 1998 to 2011. The last go-around when I got locked up, incarcerated, I ran into a mentor that I knew. He was also a pastor of Alliance Church. He had came in prison about 10 years ago, and I showed him the ropes in there and how to deal with it and everything. And 10 years later, I went back and ran right into him. And he became my mentor. The Lord set it up where I was his bunkie. I went to the same, they called it, the housing and everything. And for 6 months, he mentored me and gave it to me straight, didn't let up. We argued different times, but he stayed on me. And when I got out in 2011, I ran to a church. He let me know when he was mentoring me that I was a child of God and things that I was doing, I shouldn't have been doing. And I was called and had a purpose in my life to do other things. And so by my son living in Pittsburgh, and my mom had him, I had a 3-year-old son, and he was living with my mom. So I come to Pittsburgh, where he was at. And my mom pointed me to this church, ACAC. And because I expressed to her, I said, I got to get to a church. as soon as possible. And the first Sunday I was out, I came here. And everything just, I mean, it just lit up. I mean, I can feel the Lord speaking to me, the Lord talking to me. And then I got introduced to Care Connection. And when I was sharing my story, I just got out of prison, they introduced me to the aftercare prison ministry.
Uh-huh.
And that was going on Saturday. So I started attending. So I was attending the aftercare prison ministry and coming to church. And I also was in a growth group. And that helped me tremendously by changing people, places, and things. And that got a hold of me. And by me doing good things began happening. I had got out in October, and my dad, Lord laid it on his heart. He forgave me, bought me a vehicle in November. Then I got a job in December. And God showed me favor on my job, gave me a nice position. My supervisor liked me very well. Then from that point on, now I went from a laborer, and now I'm a supervisor on my job, 4 years later. Also, I just got remarried, just had a son, a newborn. Also, I got custody of my older, which was 3 when I went in. Now he'd be 7 this month. Now I have custody of him. I have custody of him almost a year now.
Nice.
And so, I mean, the Lord just been blessing. Got enrolled back in school, back in college. I wanted my associate's degree. I was enrolled in CUBM, Geneva College, studying for leadership. And how I got to the aftercare prison ministry, the facilitator that was running it was moving on, going into another area of his life. And they needed somebody to step up. And so by me coming, I took that as a sign to give back. I said, well, now the door is open. It's like, what are you going to do with it? So I volunteered. And as I volunteered, they gave me the position to facilitate the meetings. And that was a year and a half ago. It'll be 2 years in January. I've been facilitating this ministry. And it's a joy. It's a joy when you talk to individuals that have been where you've been and don't know how to get back into society as far as to go to work, to do the things that they need to do. You know, don't even know how to go about getting ID or your Social Security card, get a job. You know, and when you help individuals like that and they've been struggling like for 6 months to get a job and they finally get a job, it's a joy. You know, I mean, they light up like, you know, like a Christmas tree, so to speak. And that's the benefits of it. And then I'm here also at ACAC from Monday to Thursday. Mondays we have our support group meetings. And Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I either go out networking, letting people know about the aftercare ministry, or I meet with individuals one-on-one to see what their needs are. You know, and so that's basically what I do.
So this is in addition to what you do in your job. And tell us a little more about what your current job is. Is it also working with folks who need some assistance and help getting their way through life?
Well, I'm in a really, the job that I have, it's kind of ironic that the majority of the people that work for this company, Premier Pants, have felonies. And they have a lot of work release from, I think it's Beaver County. People that's in Beaver County come there and work. They work with a lot of temps. So the environment is, it's like, it's in, almost like people from the streets that work there. So now I have by me having a position, I'm a supervisor, I'm able to witness. I run a crew of 6 people, and we make dryer vents for different companies. And it's a production type of operation, you know. But we make all sorts of baking pans. We got 3 different three different departments, you know, retail, commercial, then the glaze, the finishing part. And I've worked in all the departments, and I'm well known on my job, you know. I interact with the owner all the time. So God has showed me much favor, you know, and it's awesome that I went from coming from the streets in 2011, coming from prison, and now it's 2015 where I'm at today, you know. And that's how the Lord has blessed me. And I'm reminded all the time, and I'm very grateful, you know, to him be the glory, you know. I mean, how he just kept his hand on me all those years when I was out there in the streets, 15 plus years.
Wow. You know,
yeah.
And did you know when you were out there that, you know, what you were doing was wrong, or were you so into drugs you didn't really care, or what was going on in your heart and spirit and mind during that time?
I had got to the place. Now, I did enjoy it. The flesh did. I did enjoy it. And everybody always told me I was different, that I didn't belong out there. Because I did things differently. I didn't do it because I had God in me, so things was a little different, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the consequences. And if it wasn't for the consequences, I'd probably be still out there. It had got a hold of me so bad. And then my parents was in addiction also. So it was like, well, this is how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And I had accepted that, even though I knew better, even though I had came from having a family, a godly family with four sons, and working for American Airlines at that time, and in the ministry in the Pentecostal church, you know, so I did know better. You know, I think also that was the hardest thing to know, that I had a problem also. Because when you're out there, you always, they give you the options of NA, AA, the steps and everything. Where in my heart, it was like, all I had to do was pray to God and Jesus Christ would deliver me. You know, so, and it's like, I didn't really want to make that step.
Yeah.
So, you know, until the consequences got so bad, you know, being locked up. And I used to think, well, why me, Lord? Why you always lock me up? And everybody else still out there doing the same thing. And every time I got locked up and got back out, those people that was around me was dead and gone. You know, so it was like, wow, you know. And he had his hand on me, you know.
Yeah. God was protecting you. And so, we ignore what it says in Hebrews 11, the passing pleasures of sin. And there is pleasure in doing some of the things that we do. But the problem is, as you said, the consequences, eventually it takes more than it gives. Yeah. And then we cross over into the wages of sin is death, and we reap all kinds of bad results and consequences. And so it is a tremendous testimony to God's grace and faithfulness in your life that he did preserve you while, as you said, others were passing away all around you. And so let's go back a little bit and talk more about the program. Like, let's talk what happens on Saturday and Monday and things. Let's start with Saturday because I think that's our main event of the week. What goes on in the aftercare ministry at ACAC on Saturday?
Well, it has switched. It's not Saturdays no more. It's Monday.
Oh, that's right. It is Monday. Right.
It's Monday.
Okay, let's start with Monday.
From 6 to 7:15, and what we do is we meet with individuals that have a criminal background. Also the individual could, the person can have a friend or a loved one or know somebody. It could be a parent, They could be child of a parent. They could be a spouse, a friend that knows people that has a criminal background. They also are welcome to come.
Uh-huh.
And what we do is our goal is to find ways that we can educate and equip and empower.
Uh-huh.
And, like, for instance, show them how to do resumes, let them know that they could go back to school, places that can equip them, other resources where they can go.
Uh-huh.
And the empowering comes through. We also share the gospel of Jesus Christ to provide help, hope, and healing.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's our really the foundation. That's our core,
sure.
sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, let them know they can have a church home. Let them know that the fellowship, they can have fellowship here. You know, using all types of avenues, you know. It was like, you know, I'm not from Pittsburgh. So it was like I didn't really know anybody, but I know the main person. I know God.
Uh-huh.
And he has set me up with individuals that I can connect with, and, you know,
uh-huh.
that I can help an individual go to, you know. Like, for instance, Light of Life, Northside Ministries. And there, we all are close.
Uh-huh.
They have the Hope Foundation. And they have a Hope Foundation, have a ministry in the jails, in the county jails. So
uh-huh.
it's like people I talk to when a person is getting out, and that's our main thing, is helping an individual after they get out of prison
uh-huh.
or jail. We can't help you while you're in.
Yeah.
Or you get, but we can definitely help you when you're out, you know.
Yeah.
And give you the support not to go back.
Uh-huh.
Then what
yeah,
I have
Michael,
to...
Go ahead. Mm-hmm, go
and
ahead.
What I have to really do is be patient, because
mm-hmm.
how the Lord was patient with me. You know, with the individuals that come in and they might come to a meeting, then leave, might not come back, but I got their phone number, I call them. I have to be patient with them. You know, I have to show that love to them that God has showed me, and give them that reassurance that they can do it, that they can make, you know, they can make it. Don't give up. Don't just get discouraged, you know, because some do.
Mm.
You know, they go to job after job, interview after interview, and then when they tell them what their crime was, they don't get hired. You know, that's very discouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I have to build them up, you know, and let them know that the Lord got them, you know,
mm-hmm.
this and that.
Yeah.
So,
how many people generally attend Monday meetings, and are there volunteers from the church who help you, or what's that meeting look like?
Okay, it's about 15 to 20 on a good night is 25,
mm-hmm.
but basically 15 to 20. We have individuals that help with the events, bringing in people to share, bringing in people to educate, things of that nature. So I don't work alone. I have other advisors that work with me that helps me
mm-hmm.
along, you know, along the way. And it's basically just... We have fun. we have food every Monday evening too, and
uh-huh.
that's one of the getters right there. I mean, people, they come to get a meal, and then once they get that meal, they can hear other success
uh-huh.
stories, people that made
uh-huh.
it. You know, and everybody shares. You know, and then it's a variety. You know, we have also females and males
mm-hmm.
you know, that comes.
Mm-hmm. And any family members of the folks who were incarcerated, do any family members come?
Yes, also, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And want to know how we can help once their individual get out, or what they can do, or how they can deal with the situation. What's the best
mm-hmm.
way to deal with it, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then talk to us about rest of the week. What goes on? What other activities support kind of ministries do we have in the aftercare program?
Okay, now I'm here Tuesday through Thursday, generally around from 5 to 7 o'clock. And that's when I meet with one-on-one individuals from the meetings or through our partner Care Connection. They might get in a situation where somebody will call them for help, and they might have a criminal background, whereas they can be directed to me. And they might need some help or some assistance or resources to help them. They might be homeless, you know, things of that nature. They might be looking for a job. I have tons of applications that I go to different employers and ask, do they hire criminal background individuals? And so, yeah, I got a lot of applications where, you know what bus to get on to go to the particular job. I've already talked to them. I let the person know what person to see at the job, what human resources person to see, you know. So it goes on all through the week till Thursday. My joy out of that is when I talk to an individual and I get to share my story and let them know about Jesus Christ. They can help them, you know, let them know that they can have a church home here.
Yeah.
You know.
And you've been there. And you've been where they are, and you've been where that you are where they want to be.
That's right. That's right. That's you know, they come in telling me the story that I've already done. You know, I did that already. I've been there. I know where you're at right now.
Well, it's tremendous work that you're doing. Do you go in, or do we have any team that goes in and speaks in jails and prisons?
Yes, we do. We have a team that go in, I don't know if it's once a month or every other, I mean, once a Sunday or every other Sunday that they go in the Allegheny County Jail and they do a service there. And I had also invited them to our support group, and they did a service for us. On several occasions. So we interact with the other ministries here at the church to make it complete, you know. And they can refer, if they know somebody getting ready to get out, they can refer them to me. Also, I get mail from prison from people that heard about the aftercare program here. And they let me know when they get out, they want to come here.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, so I write them back and let them know, you know. And I try to help individuals. We had one lady that had a nephew that was been locked up, and she was coming here, and her nephew was locked up, and she was want to know how to deal with the situation, this and that. And I wrote her nephew, wrote him a letter, and like it'd been like, see, I guess a year ago, and he wrote me back and let me know he's getting out, and he wanted to come here and wanted me to help him and this and that. And I'm in the process of doing that, trying to help him get out. Nice. They released him, but he don't have a place to go. So I go to all of my resources to try to find him a place. So that's in process right now.
It's very labor intensive. I mean, these are folks who really need a friend, need somebody to come alongside one-on-one and help them. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if somebody's listening and had a heart to do this, could they contact you? Can you involve them and train them?
Yes. Especially if they've been there. That's the key. If they've been there or experienced it. Because people don't want to hear from a person that haven't been in their shoes or haven't.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very ironic that you mentioned that, because just before I called you, a lady had walked in. She had been trying to get a hold of me, and I seen her, and I invited her in, and she said she had a friend that was a 28 individual. He was he's still on parole, getting ready to get off. He's married, got a wife, pregnant, and she's afraid of him because he's getting ready to get off paper, and he's off. He's talking about his partying and doing what he used to do, and what he used to do got him on paper. And he tells her, "Well, you can't tell me because you don't know what I'm going through. You ain't been where I've been, you know." And she didn't know how to answer that because she hasn't. And she came to me, you know, and I told her, you know, maybe I can talk to him. And I gave her some, our brochure to contact, you know, like that. So, and that's how that works.
Yeah, and it really is a specialty ministry with special needs that you're not going to turn anybody away that wants to volunteer, because there's plenty of things to do, I'm sure. But it really does, you know, require a specialty type of counseling. And Michael, where I mean, you're part time and probably putting a whole lot more hours in than originally had been planned. But in an ideal world, where would you like to take this? What else would you like to do? What other needs are there, or is it just doing more of what we're already doing?
From time to time, I think if we had a, say for instance, a building, a ground where we can house. Men or women, mainly men, because there are resources where women can really go, but men have a issue about housing, jobs, and orchestrating something like that. Having beds, I get a lot of times out where, you know, but now they got a system set up here where if a person needs shelter or they're homeless, they got a number to call. Then they put on a waiting list to get in, you know. And then too, you got to look at how the offset of that, because there are people that will abuse that too. So you got to know how to work the system.
Sure.
Right. So you got to know who is who and how to deal with just different individuals, you know, like that.
Yeah. Do you see yourself back in ministry someday, full time?
Yes, I do. I see that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's real funny though. I had got a referral from a lady that knew me. She worked for Family Network, Allegheny Family Network. Yeah, and they needed fathers that that had a type of background that I have, and sons or kids that they got to maybe have a behavior or something to deal with. And I had sent them my resume and got a call from them. And it was funny, but the timing is not right now. You know, but they assured me that if on down the line, if I choose to go in that direction, I can.
Nice.
I sent them my resume. So other doors are opening up.
Yeah, there's hope for the future. Talk to us about going back to school. What's it been like going back to school? What's the program like? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay, going back to school. Kind of hard, but it's a goal that I started trying to get my associate's degree, and I want to fulfill that goal. Picking what area that I want the degree in, I had picked leadership because that's where I'm focused at even today, like supervisor on my job. I'm a facilitator of aftercare group, so that leadership would do, you know. And I had, it was funny though, because my first semester there, the main thing I got out of leadership is you have to be a servant first. And I had to use some of those attributes on my job, you know, serving the workers that are up under me, you know. So that's, you know, I have learned from
that's
going
nice.
Back to school different things that I need to do.
Apply now. Of all the professors you've had so far, who was the very best and the very favorite one that you had?
Very best. Very favorite one.
Answer very carefully.
Well, I had you.
Oh, there we go. See, that's the right answer. That's
had you. And,
yeah, we did. We had a good class. We had Dr. Arlene Coleman and you and Deborah Robinson. And I love teaching leadership. And, no, you've been a blessing coming back to school. And, of course, that's where the Center for Urban Biblical Ministry. You are exactly who our niche is, if that's the right language. But you're an adult. You're coming back to school. You're not coming back for social reasons. You're coming back to get an education, and you're serious. And it's not easy, but if you take it day at a time, you get through, and before you know it, you'll be walking down, and you'll have your dream of your associate degree, and in all probability, it won't be enough. And you'll keep going on and doing some other things. So I commend you for going back to school. And tell us a little bit about your wife.
Okay. We have known each other for years, and she came back into my life. She's from Weirton, West Virginia. And as I was coming to service here, coming to my support group, even before I became the facilitator and supervisor on my job. She had known me for many years, and it was like even being out there in the streets, and you can't really have no relationship when you're out there in the streets, you know. And so when, you know, she's clean now and I'm clean now, and she got a hold of me, and it's like she's not letting go. I remember there was a time where I got hurt fishing, tore my thigh muscle off my knee, and I had to be off work for six months with no pay, because I didn't get hurt on the job. And she took care of me for 6 months, so it was like, either one, She thought she couldn't have kids, and she birthed us a baby boy, on April the 4th, 2015.
Praise the Lord.
And it's like that's her joy, I mean, she's in La La Land right now. She's so proud, she got a son, and he's adorable, and he's a good baby. He don't cry, he don't fuss,
Yeah, you take them to baseball games in the cold. Now, you and your wife are baseball fans, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Yeah. We've been at least two or three games this year on the same night, and saw you there with the whole family and mother-in-law and baby and son and in April or May when we were playing the Cubs, and it was a chilly night. But
that first one, yeah. And
yeah,
I get a lot of free tickets too.
Nice. So, Michael, if somebody is interested in being involved in the aftercare ministry, the best thing is just to call the church and ask for Michael Gregory.
Yes, they would give him my extension.
Yeah.
127.
And if anybody knows of anyone who needs some assistance or help, who is getting ready to come out, they can put you in touch with them, and you'd be glad to help them.
Glad, happy, yes.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, anything else we would need to know about the aftercare ministry that we didn't cover?
That we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We provide help, hope, healing, resources. We talk about success stories. Our group is a good atmosphere that we can talk. You can be open. It's confidential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's basically it. And we just have fun and support. And I call periodically once a week to the attendees that come. I try to keep in touch with them, keep in base with them, let them know. And also, the ones that are coming, they can come in and talk. And, we have a lot that have gotten jobs now that no longer can't come to the meeting because of their job. But they call me, and I talk to them still. So it goes on.
Yeah.
It don't stop.
Yeah. And how important is it for someone in their situation to be tied into a local church, not just to, say, the Monday night meeting where you're doing something, but the church in general? What's the benefit, do you think?
Okay, the benefit of that is it keeps you focused.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You're around good people. You're around good fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can hear the voice of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Like for instance, we have a theme every month for
mm-hmm.
our group, and I pick a scripture with the theme that the Lord lays on my heart. And the theme for this month was conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
And my scripture was Romans 8:37.
Mm-hmm.
Now the last two Sundays,
yeah.
the message was
about conquering.
About conquering.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So you know that's you know. And we didn't know that was
mm-hmm.
the sermon this month. They didn't know that we had to pick that, you know. So that's how you know it's the Lord in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So not,
good
not
to
only,
know you're
not
hearing
on,
from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
Right. Not only do you hear about conquering in our group, if you come to church service, you're going to hear about conquering
yeah.
there too.
Yeah. And I think it's important for the guys and gals to have rhythm in life. I mean, to have some regular things. When they don't have patterns, then they get bored, or they have time to kill, and sometimes they don't do it the right way. So, you know, to have, if they can with their jobs, to be going to church on Sunday, meeting on Monday, you know, other regular things that they do, that it's important to have a rhythm and a pattern. So,
right.
Well, Michael, thank you again for all that you're doing, and you're a good worker, good minister, good student, good father, and delight to have in the church. And we just thank you for the work that you're doing, and we just urge you to keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
You're welcome, and I already linked it to your Facebook page, so the link is right there, and it's on the ACAC site, so obviously people can, not just listen to this live. The strength of this is it's in the archives all the time. So once you find it, you can refer people that you're trying to counsel or work with or to help to hear about who you are, what you do. This is always there for you to use. So, but thank you again for what you do.
All right. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Say hello to your family.
All right.
All right. So long.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you have Michael Gregory, the head of the aftercare ministry at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, and someone with prison in his background, but whom God has preserved and spared. I thought it was so interesting what he said. He's asking God, why are you putting me in prison? And when everybody else is running around in the streets, and then when he got back out, they were all dead. They were all gone. And so God was really preserving him and protecting him. And I liked what he said, too. I've done prison ministry, and I've done it pretty effectively. But if you've been in, it's better. And because you know when someone's trying to snow you, you know when someone is suffering and legitimately, and you can empathize and relate to them. So it's important for us to have somebody that has been there, who is doing the work. And a church like ACAC could easily not be doing something like this. There's nothing in it for them apart from a community outreach. And so we're glad that Michael, and I know Sharon White's involved, who I've had on the show, and many other people. So very exciting stuff, and very glad we have it at ACAC. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Not sure what we'll do next week, so we may do a transforming conversation. I was just downloading all of them, took the opportunity while we were doing the show today to just click and download, so to make sure I have all of those accessible and available. And Michael really approached me. I should have been approaching him, but I didn't, and he approached me, and I'm always delighted to utilize the program. It is Ministry Beat, and it's the beat of what's going on at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. One other thing, we need to be praying for Pastor Blaine and Lynn Workman. They left today, Tuesday, February 28th, for Gabon. and they'll be there a couple of weeks, and then they're going to spend a few days in Paris on the way home. So, you know, just a couple of months ago, Blaine had open heart surgery, and now here he is going on a ministry missions trip that they've always wanted to take. So how special is that? So, Lord, be with them as they go. Give them traveling mercies and give them ministry success and bring them home safely to us. Well, I'll be up this weekend. My title of my message is Hopeful Suffering. I'll be looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I look forward to connecting with you. I'll be with staff tomorrow in the sermon preparation time, and then I'll be with all of you. I'm going to speak live in every service. So this is John Stanker, your host for Ministry Beat, signing off, and I certainly will hope to see you around campus over this weekend. In the meantime, you be well, and let's keep working to make ACAC the church that God would have it to be. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the ACAC Internet Radio Network for more interviews and insight into the life of Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.blogtalkradio/ACAC Threads. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.